Will you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55? I don't know if it is our economic times or if it is just noting it as it's coming out or whether I noted it because of thinking of this message, but in the past couple of weeks, I noticed some of the ads that are out there that are promoting the consolidating of your consumer debt. And whether you're behind and you're already delinquent in your payments or maybe near bankruptcy and all these ads out there, you know, give us a chance. We can help you get out of debt in 5 years. We can cut your interest. We can cut your payments. It's interesting that because of the tough economic times, I looked at some of the statistics for 2008 and 2009. And it seems like people are turning more and more to credit cards for the necessities. People are buying groceries on credit cards, paying their utility bills. Low-income earners are the most lucrative cardholders for the credit card companies. People, they are the ones that pay the most interest. You know that last year, Canadians alone charged, this is 2009, Canadians charged $267 billion to credit cards. Can you believe that? What's our deficit? Isn't our deficit forecasted to be $56 billion or something like that? Our national deficit, right? I think it's 50-something there. Of that $267 billion, $76 billion is outstanding. That's more than our national deficit. A recent survey of 4,000 people found that 28% of the people they surveyed had no idea what interest their credit card companies were charging them. They had no idea. 25% owed between $10,000 and $40,000 on their consumer debt. 53% had no budget for income. They had no idea where their money was going. If you make your minimum payment, and that's all many of these people can do, you know that in $5,000 credit card debt on minimum payments, you'll basically never pay it off? I put it into my amortization into a loan formula. If your credit card company is charging 28% interest, you'll basically never pay it off. The difference between your payments between 20 years and 30 years, which is what it comes out to, and that's barely minimum payment. It's just pennies on the month. You're basically giving them interest. People are close to bankruptcy, are struggling to get through. As sad as that is, do you know what's still sadder? Is that millions and millions of people are suffering from spiritual bankruptcy and they don't have to. Sin has cost us. Sin has bankrupted us. Yes, the financial figures are staggering. And for many individuals, it is staggering. Try to get out of debt. A mortgage is bad enough, but try to get out of consumer debt. If you ever start using credit cards, it seems like you can hardly stop. Because if you couldn't make it this month, there's not more money probably not coming in next month. But can you think of the sin and what it has done to us? And that sin, the sin has bankrupted our lives. And we may hop along with minimum payments here and there, thinking we might be doing okay. We might get enough good works, good stuff in. But it isn't. We're bankrupt. We owe a debt we cannot pay. Jesus paid a debt he did not owe. Remember the song? Some of us probably do. He paid I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. God sees the bankrupt condition that humanity is in, that each of us is in, was in. And God saw that, and he did something about it. By sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place, God offers to pay our debt. I want us to read Isaiah, the first five verses here. Isaiah says, "Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Come, if you're thirsty, if you're hungry, come, buy and eat. Buy without money, without cost." How can you do that? How can you buy without money, without cost? Because the word buy indicates that something is going to change hands. We can buy without money if someone else has paid for it, right? And that's the beauty of what God is doing for us. He sees that we could not buy. Come, you who are thirsty, come and buy without money, without cost. What an incredible promise, what an incredible gift to us. We are guilty, we owe. And here he offers to us something that will not cost us a penny. It will not cost us a penny. That's hard to believe, because usually if someone says that to us and offers us something like that, if we know it's authentic, we'll go for it. But it's noteworthy that spiritually we operate differently. Why is it? What are the things that keep us from taking God's offer to buy without money and to without cost? To have our thirst quenched. He says, "Listen, eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fares." Jesus used some of these same illustrations when he was walking on this earth during his years of ministry. Jesus, in speaking to the crowd, says, "I am the bread of life." We need bread, right? "He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty." Jesus offered that to the people of his day. Bread, water, those are the sustenance of life. But you know, many times we use those same word pictures, if you put it that way, to show about how we are never satisfied, how there that thirst that cannot be quenched in our lives. And we use those words when we refer to addictions, when we refer to something that we need to have. They are used in a good sense and in a negative sense. And Jesus here isn't talking about physical bread or a glass of water, as he would say later on in this chapter, but he's talking about himself, giving himself for us. In Revelation, right at the end, as the Apostle John, the Lord is speaking to him, and it is the time of the second coming and of where everyone will be in heaven. And the Lord said to John, he said, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning of the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life." I will give without cost. In Revelation, the next chapter, verse 17, he says, "The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Let him who hears say, Come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life." Don't you want this abundance? Don't you want this promise that we find in these verses? That free gift, the abundance that is there? Don't you want to get out of debt free? These ads, they want to consolidate your debt. You still have to pay your debt. Maybe they can get you a better rate on your interest, and maybe you won't even have to pay all your interest, but you're going to pay your debt. It's consolidated. Jesus says, "I'm going to pay your debt." You can get out of debt free. Just sign here. Just sign here, verses 6 through 11. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Do you understand, God? Do you understand this whole need for you to have the blood of Jesus Christ wash away your sins? Do you understand that? You probably don't. I don't know that there's any person, no matter how many theologians have studied and studied the scriptures, they cannot understand all of it. Why? Because God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. They will always be beyond us. We have been talking in Isaiah, and we have seen God as the all-sovereign God, the all-powerful God, the almighty. He doesn't have to explain himself to us. He doesn't have to ask permission of us. He is God. We are his creatures. And yet at the same time, he cares for us and loves us. And here, as we think of our thirst being quenched, of the gift of salvation, there are things that are too easy to be true, and there are things that we don't understand, and they confuse us, and those things often stand in the way of us coming to know the Lord. "Seek the Lord," he says, "while he may be found. Call on him while he is near." Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. How do you look? If I respond to these ads and I go in and I get all my debt consolidated, If you have a lot of credit card debt, it's quite possible they're going to ask you to cut up your cards. Get rid of your credit cards, because obviously that's what got you into trouble. The Lord says, seek me and find me. So I cut up all my credit cards, and I consolidate all my debt, and now I'm going to pay it out in X number of years, so much a month. Have I solved the problem? I haven't. The week after, in the mail, what will I get? Credit card offer, right? So I can sign up. I'll just do it just in case I need it. Guess what happens 5 years down the road? You have a loan that you're paying on for 15 years possibly. Maybe they even put that on your house, used up all the equity in your house, and you're paying on it for 25 years. And you again have credit card debt. Why? Consolidating your debt did not solve any problems. The problem is living using more money than you make. So how do you deal with the problem? People say to me, I try. The Lord says, seek me and you will find me when you seek with all of your heart. You got to turn to chapter 58 of Isaiah. Let's read that chapter. I want you to think of that in this context of what does it mean to seek the Lord? Is it just to pray the sinner's prayer and now you are saved? Is it more? It is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. No questions asked. You don't have to do anything. As we will see a little bit later, your sins are paid for, they're forgiven. But there's a heart issue here. Why do you want to be saved? Why do you want your sins to be forgiven? Is it because you're afraid of going to hell and you want to go to heaven? Is it because your guilt is weighing down on you so much so you want to be rid of your guilt? Is it because you're going to be paying the consequences of your sin, and maybe by turning to Jesus, he will at least help you through those consequences or maybe even take them away? You see, there's a heart issue here. Let's read in verse chapter 58. Shout it aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the house of Jacob their sins. What is the rebellion of the house of Jacob and their sin? He says, day after day they seek me out. That's exactly what God said. Seek me and you will find me. Oh, and then he puts one word in there. They seem. That one little word changes everything, doesn't it? They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. And the people are saying, hey, God, why are we fasting? And you don't seem, you have not seen it. Why have we actually even humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? And then God says, on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? Notice it's about me. It's all about me, and it's not about God. And that's a hard thing. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke? To set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry? To provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with a pointing finger, malicious talk, if you spend yourself in behalf of the hungry, and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land, will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Do you see the heart change? Two people, both seeking the Lord. One, it's about me. The other, it's about God. The Pharisee and the tax collector in the temple, Jesus using that illustration, you said the Pharisee praying and saying, "Thank you, God, for who I am and what I am not doing and what I am doing." And the tax collector just bowing down and recognizing who he is, a sinner. Seek the Lord. Just sign here. God, through Jesus Christ, wants to pay your debt of sin. You don't need to work for it. There's nothing you can do to have forgiveness of sins. You need to sign your life over to him. To seek the Lord with all of your heart means that everything, your entire life from that day forward, will be based on a love relationship with Jesus Christ. And we will see that because we already see that in Ephesians chapter 1. He says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding." Folks, we have money in the bank because Jesus Christ has paid the debt for our sin and he lavished on us everything. When did he do that? He did it when you came to the cross for salvation. In fact, it's already there. It's being offered to you. All you need to do is accept it. But what about this money in the bank stuff? The last couple of verses in chapter 55, going back there, we see that we can have all money, everything that money cannot buy, our thirst and our is satisfied in Jesus Christ. But he says, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you. All the trees of the field will clap their hand. Do you ever get that sense? Either when you got saved or as you walk the Christian life, there's different times where God's goodness is so incredibly overwhelming. Did any of you see those northern lights at around 11 last night? Weren't they just incredible? Just totally incredible. Those types of moments, they just make you live out this verse here. That joy. Do you go out in joy, led forth in peace? It just makes you praise God for who He is. Because man can't put on a show like that. And that's the God. Instead of the thorn bush, you will grow the pine tree. And instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be a sign for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. Notice the instead ofs. That's what could have been. Let's say that you owed $100,000. And so someone comes along who says to you, I would like to pay your debt. How much do you owe? Well, I owe $100,000. At which bank? At the ATB. What's your account number? Da, 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 da. You thought I'd give it to you only for deposits. And so he says, okay, I will go pay off your debt. And so the next time you put your little card in and you say check balance, not only is your $100,000 debt completely gone, but you have $1 million in your account. You see, Jesus Christ not only paid our debt, but He lavished on us everything that all the riches that the Heavenly Father wanted to give us. Did you work for that $1 million? No. You didn't do a thing. You didn't deserve it. You didn't even ask for it. It was given to you. Ephesians chapter 2 says that it is by grace we have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works. Because if we work, we like to boast about it. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And yet he says we shouldn't be working. Okay, you are saved. Your debt's been paid. Your 100,000 is gone. But have you started using the million? God prepared you to use the million. Do you earn the million? Is there anything that you can do? Does God want you to be a missionary, to be a Sunday school teacher, to be an usher, to be a deacon, so that you can use that million? No. It's there. It'll always be there. You don't deserve it. You didn't earn it. It's there. The wonder of God's salvation. He wants you to use it. I don't know about you, but if I had $1 million in the bank, I think I'd use it. I think I just might find occasions to use it. Wisely, of course. Do you see where we're going with this in the Christian life? That God didn't just save us so that we could go to heaven. God didn't just save us so that we would not have to go to hell. God didn't just save us so that we wouldn't be carrying guilt. God saved us so that we could enjoy the riches of that account that He has paid for us. He's given to us as a gift. We don't work to earn love. You don't work to earn love. That's not love. Love cannot be earned. It can only be given, received, enjoyed. We have money in the bank. Are you tapping into it? It's all there. Has God called you to do something, serve in some way? It's all there. All the resources you will need are there. What's your debt load? Every year at the end of the year, I print out a net worth statement from my financial money. What's that called again? Money Works or whatever that you get. And the other day when I went to put away the 2009 one, I discovered one from back in the early 90s. And so I just compared them. My net worth back then and my net worth today. I wish it would have changed more, but I guess that's my fault, not anybody else's. Do you ever take stock of where you are at? When we were working in Mexico, we found a very sad thing. There's many of the people, especially the poorer people, farmers in the villages, the colonies, that, as one gentleman put it, they're bankrupt and they don't know it. How's that? In Mexico, up until very recently, you could borrow from one bank to pay out the other bank. There was no central credit bureau. So they would go at one bank and borrow money to pay out the other bank. And so it would just increase, right, with interest year after year. When that was stopped, when Mexico, about whatever it was, 10, 15 years ago, got a central credit bureau, then they went to loan sharks, and they borrow there from one loan shark to the next loan shark. And these folks are running on a credit. Paying money, everything they get goes towards their debt, and they're just going deeper and deeper in debt. They're bankrupt and they don't know it, is what one loan shark said. What if you offered someone like that to pay out their debt? You see, many people, they are bankrupt spiritually and don't know it or don't want to admit it. They never keep track of anything. And so they pay out one, they pay from one or borrow from one lender to pay off the other one. They have this thirst inside of them, and they're going through life borrowing from different things to try to satisfy that thirst, and they're never paying off any debt. But why don't they? Why don't they come to God? A number of years ago, I received a phone call that I had won $10,000, and you can guess my excitement. And I said, "Are you sure?" And he said, "Yes, I am very sure." And I said, "So there's no strings attached?" And he says, "Well," he said, "yes, we will mail the check to you, but we do need you to spend $700 to buy $700 of our product, and then we will mail the check." I said, "Absolutely no problem. Take it off the check." I said, "Just go ahead, take it off the check." "No, we can't do that." I said, "Well, why not? You said I won, right?" He says, "Yes." I said, "Is the check good?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, take it off the check." And so the conversation went back and forth. He wouldn't take it off the check. He wanted my credit card. I never did get $10,000. Why didn't I give him my credit card number? I didn't trust him. He had no credible references. God is offering to pay, to give you more than $10,000. To not only pay all your sin debt, but to give you everything you will need for your spiritual life. All you have to do is sign on the dotted line. Do you trust Him? What's keeping you from signing? Well, you say, I'm not sure if I can trust God with my life. I'm not sure if I can go say yes to what God's calling me to do here. I don't know for sure if I can say yes to what God is asking me to do here, because I don't know what's going to happen. Coming back from vacation is much more enjoyable for me than going there, because I know the stops and I know the gates and I know where I'm going. God asks you to jump on the plane and He will go ahead of you. And that's what's scary. But do you need a credit or a reference check? Check out how good God is on His promises. Check with people who have walked with God for years. Check with His Word. You will read over and over again that God can be trusted. Look at what He says. He says, those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Folks, that gentleman on the phone couldn't give me a credible reference, and I never gave him my personal information. Get to know God. The better you know God, the more you will trust Him, and the more you will enjoy not just the payment for your sins, but all the riches that God wants to lavish on you. What a neat song Kara and Sharon sang. The cross is terrible, the cross is beautiful. How true. That's where your sin got paid for. That's the price that was paid. That's the deposit that was made. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. Have you signed? If God were able, and we know that, I'm putting it in human terms, don't take it too far. We know that the Holy Spirit is here, that God, through Jesus Christ, is here. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am as well. Our ushers passed our offering bags back and forth and down each row. The Holy Spirit is here this morning, and He's handing out application forms. They're coming down your row. Are you going to sign? The heading is, I'm offering you to get out of debt free. That's part one. You fill it out, you sign it. He'll pay for your sins. He has paid for them. But there's part two. He says, I want you to have and to enjoy all the riches of my grace. Will you sign your life over to me? Will you let every decision, will you let me influence every decision you make? Will you let me influence every day of the week for you? Just sign here. Let's pray. Lord, I know that there's a spiritual battle going on. We want to sign up. We want to commit ourselves 100% totally to you without fear. But Lord, those fears come. The what ifs. The unknown. Lord, I know that in the physical realm, if I was guaranteed that that money was for real and that it was meant for me, I'd take it. I'd even take it as a gift. Forever grateful and just a totally different relationship with such a friend or person that would do that. And yet I know that spiritually I desire that same thing, Lord. To take the gift in all of its greatness and richness and enjoy it. And yet the devil keeps putting all those questions and those doubts. It's warfare, Lord. He's not letting us, not wanting us to accept it, because he knows that if we do, that then he has lost out. And though, even though he himself will never enter into any of that fullness, he tries to keep us from getting into that fullness. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died on the cross and you rose from the dead to give victory over the power of the evil one, the power of death, and that now I can choose you. I don't have to allow the evil one and my natural desires, the thirst of my flesh, the hunger of my flesh, to destroy me and keep me from all that you have for me. Lord, I know you didn't come and hand out actual sheets of paper this morning, but I do believe that you are here. I do believe you are here, and that you do connect with each heart that is here. Lord, you know where each heart is and what each heart needs to move to the next step on their spiritual journey. There are people that are struggling with decisions. They're sensing your call in their lives. They're sensing you calling them deeper in their daily walk, in their daily work. And Lord, they're scared. They don't know the future. What will it cost them? Will you help them to discover that you can be trusted, and that you have never forsaken those who seek you. In Jesus' name, amen.